This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thank you so much for being with us today. It was another wet night for much of southern Wisconsin, and more rain is in the forecast today. Flood warnings are out along many rivers and streams, including in Kenosha and Racine County. Flash flood warnings are also in effect around Madison and just to the south and west of Kenosha, while flash flood watches are posted for much of the southern half of the state, though not Milwaukee or Waukesha County at this point. The rainfall numbers have been impressive to date. In Milwaukee, we've now had more than 24.5 inches of precipitation this year, and Madison reports even more. And the frequency of flash flood warnings in Wisconsin has been a significant story in recent weeks. Kenneth Potter is a professor of civil and environmental engineering at UW-Madison and an expert on flooding and stormwater management. He joins us this morning by phone. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Great. Thanks for inviting me.
The latest data I've read is that to date, this is the fourth wettest year on record for Milwaukee and the second wettest year for Madison. And the data is similar for other parts of the state, especially in the south. Do precipitation totals tell the whole story in your eye?
No, I don't think they do. Precipitation is a complicated thing that we don't completely understand in terms of its variability. So, for example, we can have long periods of time where it's dry. We can have long periods of time when it's wet. There's nobody around that remembers the fact that in the late 1800s, we had an extremely wet period. We have rainfall data actually from Madison, which shows that the high rainfall then was comparable to the high rainfall we've been experiencing in the last decade or so. The Mississippi River was high. The Great Lakes were high. There was particularly a high rainfall in Iowa where they had abundant data. So rainfall is a tricky thing to understand, largely because what controls the variation of rainfall over long periods of time is not fully understood.
I wonder, is part of the issue that that this year these high precipitation totals have come through frequent heavy storms, or is it even more than that?
Well, I think there were heavy storms back in the late 1800s, too. So clearly we're in a wet period. Clearly flooding is a big problem. It's also important to realize that we have a lot more observations, more quantitative observations today than we had, say, 50 years ago. And we also have people in more vulnerable situations. So, for example, we've urbanized further. So it's certainly a period of time where there's a lot of flooding, and it's something I think we have to take seriously because I think we understand better our vulnerability to flooding. But we don't really, it's hard to say how much of this is going to persist and whether it's going to get worse or not. I don't think we fully understand that.
Well, and in fact, many climate scientists have pointed to climate change as being a factor impacting the frequency and severity of storms, especially, you know, we've heard about hurricanes and tornadoes. Would you believe there are similar factors at work with a period like this in Wisconsin, though as everyone says, you know, you can't necessarily point to climate change as impacting a particular storm itself?
Yeah, I agree with the general scientific view. There's both theoretical evidence as well as data that show that and models, numerical models that show that changes in global climate because of increasing greenhouse gases will increase the number and intensity of storms. So there's certainly reason to believe that we're going to see bigger storms and more of them. But the models don't do a great job on precipitation, and so I don't think we know exactly how much bigger they're going to get or exactly how many more storms we're going to get per year.
But you would contend that years like this are likely to become more frequent?
That seems to be indicated by everything we know about the science.
You alluded to this a bit a couple minutes ago. There are flood warnings along many rivers and streams right now, but there are flash flood warnings in many, many other locations. Why has flash flooding become such a consistent part of the landscape, if you will?
Well, I think flash flooding always existed, and you know, flash flooding really occurs at small scales where the area contributing to the flooding is small and therefore the floods come up quickly. So I think we've always had flash flooding. I think we notice it more when we have more people out on the roads. We obviously notice it in urban areas, but I don't know that flash flooding has been a problem my whole career. I've been interested in floods for the last 40 years, and from the very beginning there was a significant increase in flash flooding. So I don't know that that's really changed. I think, again, we're just in a period of time where we're seeing more flash floods than we'd seen in previous years.
You mentioned urbanization, though, earlier. What has urbanization's impact on the flooding landscape, again, been in recent decades?
Well, urbanization is really of primary importance. The increase in flooding that results when one converts soil to impervious surfaces, such as concrete or asphalt or rooftops, causes great increases in the magnitude of floods, and particularly in flash flooding, because a lot of time the drainage areas are small. And so there's really nothing we can do worse than urbanize in terms of increasing floods. So the key is how we manage that increase in runoff. We have to remember that historically when people built, the idea was to get water away from whatever they built, and we learned after World War II that when you move water downstream, you just create problems for people downstream. So we've become way more sophisticated in how we deal with water in urban areas, but we really have a long way to go.
Well, and as an engineer, what are the steps that you believe could be and indeed ought to be taken in Wisconsin to lessen the risk of flash floods, especially given you say that this sort of period is likely to be a more common occurrence?
Well, one thing we do lead the nation in is green infrastructure. So we are doing a good job on stormwater practices that promote infiltration through rain gardens or that promote loss of water through evaporation through roof gardens. But what we haven't done a good job with is dealing with large events, and in particular in storing and detaining large events through detention ponds. There are no state rules in Wisconsin regarding control for large events. All the rules that control large events, and in particular the construction of large storages, large detention ponds, all those rules are local. They're either enacted by municipalities or by counties or towns or villages, and there really needs to be a statewide ordinance. What also concerns me is that there are very few municipalities or counties in the state that require control up to the 100-year flood. Most that do have ordinances to control large events stop at the 10-year event, and yet we know that the 100-year flood is what causes the serious damage. So I think that's a big gap in our regulatory structure in Wisconsin. It's something that we need to address, both in terms of urbanization, but also remembering that the climate is changing and we are going to see bigger events and more of them.
Last summer, much of the state, as you mentioned, dealt with a prolonged drought. I'm curious, does the persistence of this wet period in Wisconsin have any long-term positive effects on either groundwater or even surface water?
Well, certainly the groundwater levels are going to recover after the drought if they haven't already recovered. And that's a good thing because we do have water shortages, believe it or not, in parts of the state because of excessive pumping. And so it's good that we're recharging groundwater, though I must say that these heavy rains don't recharge nearly as well as snowmelt or precipitation during the fall and winter and spring when you don't have evaporation. But still, we are recharging groundwater. The other thing to keep in mind is that floods are part of the natural environment. So streams and rivers have always experienced floods with or without humans, and ecosystems have adapted to those floods. So floods reconstitute streams. They move material in the bed. So there are a lot of good things that happen in floods. We wouldn't want to eliminate floods. And, in fact, where we've built reservoirs and eliminated floods, we've created ecological problems. And a good example is the Colorado River, where we've basically eliminated all large floods because we've constructed large reservoirs, and therefore we've lost the natural ecosystems and a lot of the native species there. So, yeah, there are positive things associated with floods.
As someone who has studied floods and groundwater for much of his career, what are the kinds of questions that are key in your mind and your colleagues' mind as it pertains to these kinds of fields today?
Well, I think the real challenge, we understand conceptually how floods work in terms of the hydrological processes. We know about water running off, water infiltrating, water recharging groundwater, but we don't necessarily know how to quantify it in specific locations. So, for example, take the Central Sands of Wisconsin, where we're pumping to support a great agricultural system, but at the same time, we're lowering water tables. And there, the real question is, how much increase in evapotranspiration are we having because of pumping? So just coming up with site-specific numbers is important in making decisions, because decisions are local. So understanding the concepts, understanding the science is important, but quantifying in specific places is important. And every city, every town has to understand its flood risk, for example. And that requires detailed local information, and it's expensive to get that information. So I think that's the big challenge. Big challenge is to understand our vulnerability, to quantify, put numbers on it so that we can manage better.
Well, Ken Potter, thank you so much for shedding some light on this for us.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you.
Ken Potter is a professor of civil and environmental engineering at UW-Madison. He specializes in flooding and stormwater management. He joined us on the line from Madison. You can find the latest on the flooding situation in parts of Wisconsin from links at WUWM.com. A short break now, and in just a moment, a report on the growing practice of scrapping among some in Milwaukee, collecting and reselling scrap metal to help make enough money to get by. This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.